I ain't ever gonna stop watching Big Unk and the Nephew.
Bye.
Yo, oh, there he is.
What's up?
You dove head into this barbecue trailer. How's that been going for you guys so far?
So far, we've been blessed. We've had great opportunities. It's a learning curve for sure. It's definitely a grind, but it's been awesome. And being able the flexibility of the schedule is nice too. So, but I mean, you know how it is feeding good food to people, man. It's nothing better than that.
Yeah, it does feel great. And from what it looks like, the response has been tremendous. You guys have actually already got some news coverage as well.
That's they do Food Truck Fridays out here on a couple of the channels. So we were able to get one of those. So that was fun.
It looked like you were initially considering doing a brick and mortar and you ended up pivoting towards a food truck.
You know, initial investment definitely is a huge part of it. Just the red tape involved with a brick and mortar is outrageous here in Colorado. So that was, you know, you think it'd be easier to start something like that, but it's pretty hard here to do that. But yeah, for me, it was originally the initial investment. You know, a trailer is a safer bet. It's a lot more work, but it's a safer bet. It's not something like I don't have to bet the farm on it. Right. So
what are some of the best things that have come out of that? Things that maybe you didn't anticipate, out of running this truck?
I mean, definitely the people, just the interaction with the people is awesome. Every day it's different people. And you start to get those return customers. So that's pretty cool too. People you've never met that search you out on social media to find where you're going to be. They show up or they're messaging you like, where are you going to be this week? You know, that stuff's pretty cool too. And working with my family. I mean, me and my youngest daughter probably work the most together, but just that's awesome.
Do you have any time while you're on the truck to laugh and joke with the people?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the nice thing about barbecue, which is different than a lot of food trucks, is like our food's already cooked, right? So the ticket time on barbecue trucks is quick. It's like our food's ready for you. So like you don't ever have this huge line of people waiting for food. So you have time to interact with customers when they're at the window, which is huge. Today we were driving, me and my daughter went to pick the trailer up because we're doing a huge event at this pumpkin patch tomorrow and Sunday. And like people, this dude called me on the phone. He's like, where are you going to set up today? And I'm like, oh, because he saw us driving the trailer. So he was like, where are you guys going to be? I want to come eat. But it's like, just that stuff's so cool.
It's a big undertaking. It's a huge undertaking, right? And yeah, so to just go for it, right? Just kind of grab yourself by the nuts and say, we're doing this. It's pretty cool to see. And it's inspiring, man. So I wish you nothing but the best of luck with it. And I hope that continues. And I hope it. You know, that the only fear that I have when it comes to having a truck or anything like that is I don't want to lose any of the passion. I want to just really enjoy the cooking and the process and serving the people. And I have concerns over turning that into something that becomes my livelihood if the passion somehow slips away a little bit. Have you experienced any of that at all?
I mean, not really. I think the thing that's important is not to, you could easily fall into that if you're chasing the money.
Yeah.
I've been blessed with past jobs to where I don't have to chase the money. So being able to have a flexible schedule to where you don't have to grind 7 days a week, you know, that makes a huge difference. Because yes, if that was the case, I could see how it would turn into a job.
Yeah. I understand that. So you're giving yourself a lot of flexibility, and that's kind of overtaking what would be, you know, it's like, consider the alternative. The alternative is, all right, be back in the office again, slaving away. And this, you know, if we want to offer this one day, we can offer that. You have nobody to answer to other than the wife, of course. I know how that goes. Yeah. What about the daughters? Do you have to answer to the daughters? I wonder, you're a little bit older, right? No, she still needs to run the cell.
Yeah, well, one of them, the youngest one works with us the most. My middle daughter is a cosmetologist. She does hair for a living. And then my oldest daughter lives in Florida. So really it's my youngest daughter, Taylor. And she's great. She's basically a spitting image of me when it comes to personality. So we're always at each other.
Oh, that's fun, man. That's got to be a good time. Does she have a favorite thing that you cook on the truck?
Yeah, Taylor's hilarious. We have these little like 2-ounce side cups. So she's always like, she's always coming up with different concoctions of barbecue creations. Oh, so I look over and she's got like coleslaw, mac and cheese, brisket. I'm like, that combination looks terrible. But so she's always trying different stuff. But mac and cheese, she's a big mac and cheese fan.
I feel that, man. When I was younger, I had a couple of jobs in fast food when I was a kid. Did you ever work in fast food?
Never.
Never?
No.
Okay, well, it rings a bell because back then we did the same thing, right? When you have the full flexibility, when you work at Taco Bell, you're not going to make yourself a bean and cheese burrito. You're going to go ahead and just throw anything together. You're going to make like a little concoction.
And that's because the double decker came into creation, probably.
You got that right. So, yeah, I could see why she's doing that. I'd probably have done the same thing.
Right.
That's awesome. So outside of the trailer and stuff, right, you've got a lot of other hobbies too, right? What are some of the things that you're into when you have free time?
I'm a big outdoors guy. I'm a big hunter. I'm a big firearms guy. And heat stroke's always razzing me, calling me Seth Wick. But, yeah, I love all things firearms and shooting. Just, you know, we do a lot of stuff at shooting events with the trailer, so it's just a really cool community.
Yeah. When's the last time you shot a man?
I'm just kidding.
It goes hand in hand out there in Colorado, right? I mean, you're definitely among your peers with hunting and shooting guns. Like, it's kind of the norm out there, isn't it? Is it open carry?
Not Colorado. No,
it's not.
Okay. Well, I mean, constitutionally, I guess it is, but I guess it is. Yes, it is. It is an open carry state. Some cities aren't, but Colorado is. Yes, you are correct.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah. I wish I was, man. I love guns. Don't get me wrong. I love them. I'm really comfortable around them. I own my own guns, but I don't have like an arsenal that I would. I don't feel like I can comfortably just go all out. You know what I mean? I'd love to have. Can you imagine those rooms? You've seen people do that in their man caves, and it's just it's an absolute arsenal in there. That would be so fun. That'd be cool.
A little different laws out there.
It's so different, but I mean, I have a little Glock. It's fun to go shoot it, but I don't have anything big. I don't have any big fun toys.
Yeah, it's a blast. It's always been a passion, and the girls love it too. So,
do you like to build them too, or do you just like, you know, having them and shooting them and cleaning up and maintaining them?
I wouldn't say I like to build them. I like to. I've definitely done a lot of like aftermarket outfitting on some of the platforms I have, but. I wouldn't say I like building them.
Okay, understood. What would you say to someone, they go out, they go pick up their first gun, and they've gotten used to it, they like shooting it, it feels nice and comfortable for them, and they want to try to make it more unique, their own, maybe add some aftermarket stuff. What are some of the first things that you would recommend that they look at?
I mean, lots of people upgrade their grips, lots of people upgrade their triggers to make a lighter trigger pull. Obviously optics, the older you get, the better it is to have an optic so you know what you're hitting, but just that kind of stuff. I mean, if you get deep into it, you know, suppressors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I don't think we can legally have suppressors out here in California.
Come on out.
Oh, awesome, man.
What is that you're bringing home with you in that duffel bag?
The truth is Seth only needs a pencil.
Yeah, Seth does only need a pencil.
That's right. That's cool. Do you remember your first gun? Did you get your first gun when you were a kid? Like, you know, those old school stories? Grandpa gave you your first rifle and stuff like that? Or
honestly, no. Oh, my first gun, the first gun I ever owned, my wife purchased for me when we first got married.
Fucking cool.
It was
a badass.
Yeah, she is. It was a Springfield 45 caliber handgun. That was my very first gun I bought.
That's cool. Now, so when she gives you a gun as a gift, what does she say to you? Like, how do you present someone with a gun that you've never owned one before? Was she like, hey, I know you, were you already into them and you just hadn't had one yet or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was into them. a lot. And keep in mind, me and Heather got married when we were teenagers. So, I mean, it was like, you know, I had just got old enough to purchase a handgun, and that's what she got me was that handgun.
That's awesome. So you, yeah, since teenagers, so you guys are high school sweethearts too, then, huh? That's amazing. How often do you run into that? Not too often, right?
Not really. And if you do, they're usually not still together.
Yeah, exactly. We don't see it too often. My wife and I being high school sweethearts, like, we'll do, when we're every once in a blue moon, we'll be on vacation. We'll see like an older couple and they're still high school sweethearts. But like people of our generation, no, it's very few and far between. I think because we're the generation where most of our parents are now divorced, right? Most of us, we were like the first generation of kids where it was kind of the norm for your parents to no longer be together. And I think that had a big difference. Whereas like the older folks, you know, you stay together regardless, right? It was kind of tradition. So,
right.
Yeah. Pretty cool that you guys still have it too.
Yeah. She's on right now. So don't ask me how long we've been married.
I'm going to ask her how long you guys have been married. Put it in the comments down below.
Yeah. So put it in there.
Did you guys go to the same school? Were you guys at rival schools? Like, how'd you guys end up meeting?
So Heather was homeschooled, so we didn't go to the same schools, but we grew up in the same church together. It's 22 years. We've married 22 years. So we went to the same church together. She was my high school sweetheart. She had a lot of other high school sweethearts before me, but she was my high school sweetheart.
You know what? That's how it is, man. They're girls, they get a lot to pick from out there, right? They get a lot to pick from out there.
Right.
That's cool.
But now, Chris, the choice is towards the end, so she had to pick me.
There you go. And that's kind of relatable. My wife had one or two, I think just one, like real serious, so what you would consider a long-term relationship back in high school, right? And then it was me, you know? So, yeah. I was the last pick, but I still got her.
That's right.
Yeah. So speaking of John Wick, do you like action movies or what?
Yeah, I love action movies. I would say my favorite genre is probably horror, but definitely an action movie guy.
There you go. And your daughters are they're all old enough to watch horror movies and stuff. But do you remember when they first started, when you first let them watch scary movies?
Yeah. So my oldest daughter was always like, she'll be 21 this year. She was always my like scary movie partner, even like when she wasn't old enough to watch them. Like I just brought her with me to watch them. And now my youngest Taylor has kind of gotten into that role just because she's around. But yeah, I would say Madison started when she was, I don't know, 14, 13, going to scary movies with me.
Oh, that's cool. I asked that because my youngest, he's diehard into scary movies. He's always watching them. And the gorier, the better. I want to say he's been watching the Saw series, every single movie in the Saw series, like 3-4 times now.
Hey,
and he's growing young. They're super gory, and he's 12. He got into it a lot younger. Myself personally, I was tormented by Chucky. I saw Chucky when I was 7, Child's Play, the first one. And I swear to God, I had nightmares about Chucky. From unhealthy nightmares from 7 till about 12 years old, just completely tormented by Chucky. So I was always worried about them being a little too young, but I don't know. My youngest son, he's way beyond his years. So we let him.
Yeah, it's funny how some people get scared of them and then some people it doesn't bother them at all.
Yeah. Were you the one that it never bothered you at all or what?
Yeah, it never bothered me.
Yeah,
I was ready.
Gotcha. Well, do you remember you're my age, right? So do you remember My Buddy? There was a doll that was out when we were kids called My Buddy. I had a My Buddy doll. I wanted a My Buddy doll. All the commercials about them. I finally got a My Buddy doll for my birthday. I was juiced on it. And then when Child's Play came out, I just had like it was just too real to me. It was the first time that I saw a scary movie where it was like, This is real. And tormented.
You're like, my buddy's going in the trash.
Yeah. Oh, it did. We got rid of that thing.
It's hilarious.
We have any questions that have come in so far for him?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah. What's the best selling item on your food truck?
Number one selling item is brisket.
Okay.
Probably it doesn't matter how they buy it. Usually it's a plate combo. So we do like one meat, two meats, three meats combos. But brisket's
always the number one. We go through a ton of brisket.
There you go.
So my add-on question to that is, what's your favorite thing on the menu? What's your specialty, your favorite go-to yet?
I mean, I've always been a pork guy, so pulled pork is always my go-to, or sausage. I'm a big hot link guy. But when people come to the window, they always ask, like, what's the best? And Heather says, well, people buy a brisket, but he'll tell you pork, so.
There you go. That truck is awesome, man. That trailer is so nice.
Yeah,
it was a pretty smooth transition for you to cook. You cook most of the food right on the trailer, right? On that smoker, or you smoking a lot of it on the rig?
So we do, we'll cook like the day of, like chicken and sausage, but most of our long cooks, we don't do on the trailer. We do them at off a pit that's off site.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. So brisket, man, how many briskets would you say you go through a day? Do you go through?
I mean,
do you have a number?
Like this week we're setting up for basically two full days, and we'll probably go through anywhere between 15 and 18 briskets.
Wow. And are you at this time, how long has it been now? Was it around April? I'm thinking it was around April or so that you guys launched the truck. Is that your timing right on that?
Yeah, I think we got the trailer in April. I think I drove out to Tennessee in April to pick it up.
Okay. And then, so at this point, do you feel like you guys have figured out the whole, you know, making sure you don't have too much food or not having enough food? Like, have you found that one would be preferred over the other? Obviously, waste is going to suck, right? It's loss of revenue.
Yeah.
Would you rather have loss of revenue with waste of food, or would you rather sell out, run out of food, and like build, you know, hype behind the product?
So I don't like selling out, but it's funny because I see Randy's watching here, because he's a firefighter here in Colorado, and every time he shows up to the trailer, we're sold out. But I don't like selling out, but I would rather sell out than be like, I have all this food, I can't use that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I feel when I try to like mentally plan out how I would do something like this. I feel like that would be one of my biggest hurdles, is overcoming that. But I think it just takes time, right? So, you know, if you've been doing it, I guess, roughly 6 to 7 months out there doing the thing, it's still something that you're learning, and it's probably different from place to place that you go, right?
Right. So a lot of it, one thing I always try to concentrate on is like, it's okay to sell out if you sell out at the right time. So like, you don't want to be running out of food when it's still going to be a busy time. And then having like options for like,
options for. You there? Kind of broke up a little bit.
Fuck. I get off.
Yo, are you guys there?
Hey, can you hear me? I can hear you now.
You can hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what that was, but we froze up. Nick, I can't hear you anymore.
Yeah. First it was the comments, and now the live's broken.
Yeah. Sorry, y'all.
No, it wasn't just... Yeah, I think it was all of us.
Hey, Nick, what's up? All right, sorry about that. Are we back?
We're back.
I think so.
Sorry, Seth, I asked you a question. You were in the middle of the internet, and it kind of froze up. Let's just kind of move on, I suppose. Okay. So the food truck business has been awesome. You like being outdoors, doing that type of stuff. Do you guys snowboard? Are you guys ever out there and doing like snow sports, or not really?
No, I mean my kids snowboard. Definitely my middle daughter's big snowboarder, but I've never been. It costs too much, bro. It's like $1,000 to take your family skiing, even when you live here.
It's insane, isn't it? Well, like, yeah, is the obviously I know of Vail. Is that like is that your local spot? Is Vail your local spot, or
probably
you guys have a ton of places?
Yeah, probably Breckenridge or Keystone would be like go tos. Vail's a little too hoity toity for my blood.
It is, right? I got you pinkies up as you go down the hill.
That's right.
That's cool. So you grew up out there in Colorado, though, right?
Yeah, I was born in Nebraska, but I grew up here. Went through elementary school and middle school and high school out here.
Okay. What brought you guys? How did you guys get from Nebraska to Colorado?
So my mom got divorced and she moved out here. So she moved me and my twins. I have a twin sister and an older brother. So we all moved out here. And she basically just came out to plant her feet out somewhere different.
Yeah, that's cool. And Colorado's where she landed.
Perfect price.
I bet, dude. We had a similar story. We were in New Mexico when my parents got divorced. Mom took off to California. And that's how we got out here to California. Yeah. Literally the same story. So just like this is literally what we were just talking about, too. The previous generation. It's just kind of how things went, though.
Yeah.
You know? That's cool. You have a 21-year-old daughter. Is marriage even something that you guys have talking about? Does she have like a serious boyfriend she's been with forever or anything like that?
No, she had a pretty serious boyfriend when she was in high school, but ever since they broke up, she has not had another serious boyfriend, which is fine with me.
I don't know what that would be like, right? I mean, I feel like I would try to be as open as possible, being like the girl dad with the boyfriend coming around and stuff, but I feel like just the man in me would have to assert dominance, you know, kind of at almost every given time, try to do it in a humorous way, you know, stuff like that. Do you do stuff like that or do you just play it cool?
I mean, my girls always tell me everybody's scared of me, which I have no idea why. Like, I'm the nicest guy. Yeah. I'm literally the nicest guy there is, but they're always like
putting a sharpened pencil in his hand.
But, you know, honestly, I always view it as like, if that boy goes out of his way to invest in me, then to me, that's different than like him sitting in the car when he comes to pick her up or something. Like if that happens, it's like, yeah, I'm done with you. I haven't met you yet.
Yeah. I understand that. Respect goes a long way, right? Yeah. It goes a very long way.
Absolutely.
And that's what I would be into for if I had a daughter. I would want her to have someone that's got kind of those old school roots, right? The old school morals. Right. I want her to kind of follow the proper code, so to speak, you know? Yeah. But I just wonder how my daughter would be, right? Teenage daughter, adult daughter. Like, would she be like, stop it, dad. I got it. I know what I'm doing, dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't overly like pry about that stuff either. So, just because I want to give them their space too. I mean, they're going to learn the hard way, or they're going to learn the right way. So I'm a big component. Like, I support, sometimes life has to teach you lessons. And if you learn the hard one, then that's your bed you made.
That's true. And those are the ones that you learn from the most, right? It's a lot harder to learn from someone else's example. Sometimes you got to face it yourself, right?
Yeah. My oldest daughter, Madison, always says that I ruined her for any guy, because she's always trying to find someone that can fill my shoes, which is a compliment.
That's a very sweet thing. That's what it's a common occurrence on here. We keep talking about it too, how sweet girls are versus the boys. But that's awesome to hear your daughter tell you something like that, right?
Yeah. That's great. It's huge.
Yeah. My son, he just wants to fart and make me laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, girls don't do that. I always tell people that girls love their dads like forever.
Yeah. That would also be the hardest time too. I talk about how hard it would be having teenage daughters and going through like their hormonal changes and all of that kind of crap, the mood swings and stuff. But then you ultimately have to give her away to somebody else and have them kind of take care of her and be that that rock for her. And that would also be so hard for me.
Yeah.
It would be so hard for me to do. But, you know, all the best, man. It's awesome. Kids are awesome, man. Having kids is such a rewarding feeling, man. Seeing them do what they do, seeing them kind of create their own path and watching them excel at the things that they love to do.
Absolutely.
My kids love sports. They love playing basketball. They love doing stuff like that. What are your kids into? What do they like to do?
So my youngest daughter is, she plays softball. She plays lacrosse. So she's pretty active. My middle daughter, Bailey, she's the one that's a cosmetologist. She was a competitive gymnast up through COVID.
Oh, wow.
And Cove, from being a little kid all the way through 2020, she was in club gymnastics. She was there all the time. But then COVID hit and they wanted them to do everything with masks on, and it just ruined gymnastics for a lot of kids. But so she didn't do anything after that. She just went to high school. She was just a good high school kid. And then my oldest daughter played volleyball. And then, yeah, she was a volleyball player pretty much through high school. And then she's in the food service industry out in Florida. So.
Oh, okay. That's cool. No kids from the oldest daughter at all, right?
Nope.
Awesome. Also awesome, man. So your wife is into CrossFit and all that stuff, right? She's like a badass in more than one way. Kids into that too? You kids into CrossFit?
I mean, my middle daughter Bailey, she's very athletic and she's strong. She can go and do CrossFit with Heather, but I wouldn't say she's not a CrossFitter like Heather, but Heather is definitely a die-hard CrossFitter.
Yeah, that's cool though. It's a passion that people go all the way into, kind of like what we do here with barbecue, what you're doing with barbecue, you go all the way in.
That's right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Really cool. So we were talking earlier about, I think, the horror movies. I think it was somewhere got cut off in the middle of the horror movies. What are your top three horror movies? Kind of set the tone for the movies you're into.
Man, top three horror movies. My favorite movie of all time, I guess, is not really a horror movie, but Reservoir Dogs. Oh yes, it's pretty gory, but I wouldn't say it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good one. I mean, the original Exorcist is a good movie. I'm trying to think of a third one. They always let me down. That's the problem.
Yeah, you're right. Ultimately, a lot of times it's hard to walk out of a horror movie at the end and be like, damn, that was
great.
Yeah, usually somewhere towards the very end, you're like, oh, fuck, I knew it, or whatever it might be, right?
I mean, the original Saw was a good movie.
Was.
Yeah, the very, very first one was good.
Again, by the time the second one came around, there's no big surprise anymore, right? You know what I mean? Yeah, you kind of understand there's some diabolical killer stuff going on, right?
Well, then the movie changes into how bad can the people be in order to get punished for their crimes.
True, yeah. I'd say some of my favorite scary movies, and I've been searching for this one because I want my kids to watch it. My youngest, he's really into them right now, is The People Under the Stairs. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Dude, I thought that was so good, and I can't find it anywhere on Netflix, on Amazon, nothing. Did you ever see that one, Nate? No.
No, I'm not a big horror movie fan at all. I mean, I like Final Destination. Final Destination was cool.
Scary, Nick.
I hate to this day, I still can't drive behind a truck with those logs in the back. So it pretty much messed me up for life. So
it did. That's not yours.
We do have a couple questions in here. Ask who's winning Saturday, Texas or GA?
Nebraska.
Nebraska is not an answer here, but we'll take it.
I'm gonna say Georgia. I'm picking Georgia. Sorry, Sonny.
Yeah. Another question is, what's been the biggest learning moments in starting your food truck?
Biggest learning moments. Definitely the food preparation at the beginning was something trying to figure out so you didn't have a lot of waste. And then, like, figuring out the best places to set up. That was kind of tricky at first because, you know, lots of people want food trucks just because they want the food truck there, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good place for you to be or a profitable place for you to be. So learning those places was huge at first.
How do breweries work out? I've seen you've been at it seems like a couple of breweries at least.
Yeah, so in Colorado, breweries are a great spot just because they don't sell food at breweries out here. So they want you there. I mean, the good ones typically don't charge you to be there,
yeah,
because they know you're bringing a service to their customers. But we've gotten into a few really good ones, and like we've already booked out 2025 for some of them that are really good places for us.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about having the food truck? Is it the freedom or?
Yeah, for sure. It's the freedom. Just the flexibility of the schedule is huge. And I mean, I had a pretty stressful job. I was over a lot of stuff where I was. So losing that was huge. And then being able to, like, me and Heather are going on vacation next week, and like being able to go on vacation and not look at your phone and have 50 missed emails and being like, this is the worst. So that's huge too. That's the freedom.
Awesome. What are you guys doing for vacation?
We're going to Hawaii.
No way.
9 days.
You've been before?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. We've been to Maui a bunch, but this is our first time to Kauai. So we're going to Kauai for 9 days.
All right. What helped you guys decide on Kauai over the other islands?
I mean, a lot of the reason we went to Maui was to go to Lahaina, but that's obviously doesn't exist anymore. So, which is sad just because it was such a cool place. So I didn't want to go to Hawaii and just stay up in Kaanapali. So I was like, let's go somewhere we've never been.
That's cool. Yeah. Kids come at all or just you and the wife?
It's me and Heather this time. Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Dude, I can't wait. Soon enough, we'll be able to do that probably 4 to 5 years. The wife and I go take our own, kind of leave the kids behind while we go on a little couple's vacation.
No, I'm really looking forward to it.
Recharge. So correct me if I'm wrong. That island has most of the sightseeing stuff, right? That's where you want to go see a lot of sights.
Yeah, definitely that north shore is really popular. Like in the movies, I think that's like the Jurassic Park island. But yeah, it's like the most chill island, but it's the most like hiking trails, waterfalls. It's one of those islands.
Awesome, man. Well, hope you guys have a good time out there. What other questions we have, Nick?
Yeah. Do you run any holiday specials like turkey for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we're going to do turkeys for Thanksgiving. We just got to figure out how much they're going to cost. But we'll definitely do a turkey drop for Thanksgiving. Our drops when we first started were huge. We had a lot of support through that, which helped, you know, launch the food truck. So we'll definitely do a Thanksgiving turkey drop.
Can you walk us through your menu a little bit of what's, if I walk up to your truck, what can I expect to see there?
Yes. So we do all the traditional barbecue items. So we do sausage, chicken, ribs, pulled pork, brisket. And then with those proteins, you can choose a sandwich. You can do like loaded mac and cheese with a protein. You can do loaded fries, loaded tater tots, which has a protein. And then it's like the cheese sauce we use for the mac and cheese on top. I mean, it's really just pretty traditional barbecue menu. As far as that's concerned, I don't really do anything like fancy. I'm old school barbecue guy.
Hell yeah. Anything that you've put on the menu that you guys took off the menu?
Chicken wings.
Chicken wings, huh?
Never sold.
No way. I guess it's hard to choose chicken wings when you got those other options though. You know,
and I thought it would be big, and then we just never really sold them.
Yeah, I got you. What, anything new that you're considering adding to the truck that you don't have now?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to definitely, like, on the dessert side, we're trying to figure stuff out there. It's just, I mean, you can spend a lot of time, like what you talked about earlier, where it becomes like just a tedious task that I got to get this done for the truck. Like, you can easily fall into that by offering all kinds of things that you might never sell, but you know, it's just like one more thing that you can offer. There's a guy, dang, I can't think of his name, but I think it's Matt, but he's on Instagram, Matt Smokes something. But he always offers, like, we did jalapeno poppers once, and that was a huge seller, which people love my jalapeno poppers, I guess I'm told. But like, that kind of stuff is cool to do, but if you offer that every day, it's, you're just constantly making jalapeno poppers, right? So it's like, you got to choose if that's what you want to do 24/7, or, you know, if you want to stick to a more simple menu that, you know, people still love. But yeah,
for sure. I can understand that. You don't want too many options, man. Could you imagine it being like what is that place? Cheesecake Factory menu on a food trip?
It goes. Funny story, man.
What?
We're out at this pumpkin patch, and there's this other food truck there, and this dude literally has a 3-page menu set up outside, and I'm like, how do you like have so many options? Like, I'd be like, I don't even remember how to make that.
That would be a nightmare. Now, I feel like you would want to have as much of a concise menu as possible. Even your menu right now sounds pretty vast, right? That sounds like a pretty daunting task, right? Because it's like, they'll either go sandwich, on fries, on tater tots, or probably just on a plate on its own.
Yeah.
It's a lot having to have all of that on the truck at the same time.
Oh, you know? Oh yeah. Even what we do is still a lot to keep up with.
For sure.
And I'm all about just making it consistent, right? Like, every time you eat at our food truck, I want it to be as good as the last time you ate at our food truck.
Yeah. So was sourcing your proteins and stuff like that? Like, obviously that's going to be a big part of that, wouldn't it be? Have you been able to find your like end all source?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of it out here. Like, we have all the Sysco's and all the US food service and all that stuff and companies like Cargill, but a lot of stuff we'll just put in orders at Costco Business Center and pick up the prime stuff there.
Yeah. Well, you can't beat the quality, and that's really going to help with the consistency too. Yeah. That's cool.
So we got a few more questions in here too.
Yeah.
How often does Heather help with your food truck?
Heather helps a lot. She helps, she coaches CrossFit most mornings, and then she'll come over after that to help at the food truck. And then obviously on the weekends, she doesn't work the weekends, so she'll be out at the pumpkin patch with us the Saturday and Sunday too. So Heather helps as much as Taylor does.
Let's say you have a Saturday, Sunday event. Can you kind of walk me through a day in the life on like the Friday? How does your day begin? Prep for your day.
So a lot of it is like getting up early, you know, getting stuff going, getting stuff prepped, getting mac and cheese and stuff prepped, all that stuff, you know, ready to be made, getting all the proteins set out, ready to get warmed up. Then we show up with the trailer, get everything fired up, get the fryers going, smoker rolling so we can start getting chicken and sausage and all that stuff cooking. That's pretty much it. On the truck, we have a full-size proofing cabinet. So the trailer, I overbuilt the trailer. It's huge, but it has everything we need on it. And we can correct anything on that trailer.
That's awesome. Do you have goals or hopes of one day being able to just hire people to run the truck for you? And you just kind of run the empire and you have people that are working on the truck? Or is being on the truck, handing the food over and seeing the reaction, is that, you know, the real big part of what this is about for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about for me. I want to be as busy as I want to be. I don't want it to be where I'm managing multiple food trucks and trying to figure all that stuff out, which can be a very lucrative business. I mean, if you do it right, it's a great business to be in. I think if I could do it my way, I would want a smaller brick and mortar to where I could show up, have a staff, you know, still show up every day, not have to be the pit master. 'Cause a lot of times on a barbecue, when you do the barbecue truck, like you're the pit master. So you just are grinding 24/7 with that side of the business, where if you can get someone else to eventually do that, that frees up a lot of your time. But I mean, you guys know how long barbecue takes. It's not like you're just, it's not like the Ronco, you know, set it and forget it.
Have you ever had any of those things that come into play in barbecue? Unexpected, extra long stalls hit you at the absolute worst times and like affect your output? Have you had that happen on the truck yet?
No, not really. I mean, I'm way over cautious with stuff, and I've always been that guy that shows up 40 minutes early for everything. So like I've approached cooking that way too. So like I leave myself enough time to where that hasn't happened yet.
There you go. Well, now that's the upside to a barbecue truck too, though. You can do that, right? Especially with the warmers, right? Yeah. If you can prepare things up front and then throw them in the warmers, I mean, ultimately it's just going to help the end result of the product anyway.
Absolutely. You
know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I guess that's definitely the upside compared to some of these other trucks that are out there. Go ahead.
The ticket time on our food truck is like, I think a lot of people are used to going to food trucks and like walking away. Heather has to tell people, don't leave. Like your food's coming out. Like don't leave. Like it's barbecue. It was cooked 20 hours ago.
Yeah. They're going to love that. And that's actually, that is good. Cause what's the biggest crowd that you guys have had so far?
I mean, the patch we do is pretty big. There's thousands of people out there. The biggest, other than that, there's a pretty big brewery out in Golden that draws a huge crowd. I wouldn't say it's 1,000, but it's in the hundreds.
Yeah, quite a bit of people. Yeah. And that feels amazing, man. My wife just asked a question here, I think just popped in there. You see that, Nick?
Yeah, do you still cook at home for the family, or are you overcooking for cooking by dinner time?
No, I still cook at home. We've always had a food subscription service, so we've always had Home Chef. So cooking here is easy, and Heather hates cooking. She'll tell you she hates it, but she usually does that. But I still love cooking because I haven't made it a job.
There you go. Absolutely. Does Heather eat
a couple more
barbecue? I'm sorry, Nick.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Does Heather eat your barbecue, or is her diet too strict to eat your barbecue?
Oh, no. That girl, she eats worse than I do, but obviously I don't CrossFit, so it sticks to these bones. That's awesome. She's all about the barbecue.
What's her favorite thing that you make?
Brisket and chicken, man. She loves those chicken thighs.
See, it's hard to beat a good chicken thigh, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, she loves those chicken thighs, man.
It's good. My wife's not the biggest fan of brisket, though. I don't make too much brisket here at home. It's not her favorite, you know. But we're Cali kids, man. So tri-tip's always like.
I always laugh because you go to the grocery store in Colorado, there's like four tri-tips and 50 briskets.
It's crazy, man. But I get it. I get it.
People here cut tri-tip wrong, so they sit there and chew it for 3 minutes.
What's your favorite wood to cook on?
Oh, we only use hickory.
That's what's up.
Yep, hickory.
That's what's up.
Do you inject your turkeys? If so, with what?
We don't inject our turkeys.
No.
No, I've never injected anything. I've always been a purist, so just smoke, man.
So you don't do any type of brine or any type of secrets?
Old school. I like it.
What kind of salads do you serve on your food truck for us vegans? And that was by Sven. So, you know, super vegan.
That's a funny question because we did, we did some event where they like, we had to have a vegan option. And I was like, I told Heather, I was like, just reply to the email, like, coleslaw is your vegan option. Like, we're a barbecue truck. Like, I don't do that. Like, if that's not who we're out to feed. We're out to feed barbecue people.
They want you to make some Beyond Meat sausages.
Yeah. Well, that's what's tough too, because it's like, Like, that's another thing. Like, you could get wrapped up in learning, trying to figure out how to smoke jackfruit so you can feed those two people that show up to buy your jackfruit that day.
No way, dude. Maybe if that's your whole thing, that's got to be the entire business model. You have to be operating a vegan truck, you know. But if not, I couldn't see the idea behind it. That's why you got the potatoes. You know what I mean? Hey, you have someone that's vegan and they're coming up, you know, get a potato.
French fries. We got vegan fries and vegan tater tots.
That's right. Exactly. Do you have your own homemade ranch?
No. Oh, we actually don't have ranch. I'm telling you, Mir. We have a hot barbecue sauce, the traditional and the Carolina, and then we have that's all the sauces we offer. Ketchup.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Then you prep all that stuff in advance too, in those like 2 ounce cups, or how do you serve that?
So we set up a table outside of the trailer that has bottles on it, and then if people take it to go, we give them those little cups with lids, and they usually squirt it in there for themselves.
Perfect. So you don't have to be stopping what you're doing to fill up a little barbecue sauce cup.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Other questions we got, Nick?
What is your go-to road trip snack?
Pringles.
Hell yeah. What flavor? Sour cream.
Sour cream, Pringles, and probably peanut M&M's.
Ooh, you know, good. M&M's are so underrated. So
underrated. Yeah.
And I'll chew cracked pepper sunflower seeds, so I got a hole in my face too. So,
do you have a preference, a brand that you like for the sunflower?
Spitz.
Those are the ones, huh?
Yeah.
Dude, they're not too salty. The what's the major brand? Davis? David? Yeah. It's just way too salty, man. But the Spitz. Spitz is where it's at, man. The cracked pepper one. I want to say they got a dill pickle one that's awesome too.
Yep.
It's all the flavor and none of the, like, you know, extra salty backlash.
Yeah, you don't need chapstick after you chip Spitz sunflower seeds.
Exactly. What else, Nick?
What's the oddest job you've ever had?
I worked for the Girl Scouts.
Whoa. Are you on a list, Sprouts?
I'm not on the list, but when me and Heather first got married, we had about like $3.50 to our name, and I was a ranch hand at a Girl Scout ranch.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So in Colorado, we have these ranches up in the mountains, so that's where I worked at like graded roads, and it was terrible.
Do you know what a dude ranch is?
Yeah.
What makes a ranch a dude ranch?
I don't know why they call them dude ranch. Maybe someone that's watching can drop in why it's called a dude ranch.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. We this came up the other day. You remember the show Hey Dude, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it came up, because they worked on a dude ranch, and I felt like it was a ranch where they teach you. Right, where you don't know how to ranch, you go out there and you learn the ways. And I thought that was what a dude ranch was. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not certain why they call them dude ranches.
Okay, I got you.
I'd say the Girl Scouts was the weirdest job I've ever had,
for sure. Do you have a weirdest job, Nick? Did you end up getting to this one before?
I don't really have the weirdest job, but I worked at Subway. And, you know, when you were talking about the fast food orders earlier, you never make yourself a regular item at Taco Bell when you work there, whatever. I don't think I've had as good of a sandwich since I quit working there. Since, you know, I'll go there and be like, let me hop back there real quick. I'll pay more. Let me make it myself.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm the original sandwich artist.
Yes. You see, sandwich artist, he knows it's the dumb title. It's actually sandwich artist. And they would have us refer to ourselves as that. Is you don't just make sandwiches, you're sandwich artist. See, he said that with like, my manager said that with like a straight ass face.
That's hilarious.
So talking about fast food, what's your Taco Bell order?
Oh, man. My Taco Bell order is a burrito supreme and three soft tacos.
Soft tacos, my man.
Yeah. That's it.
Somebody get make a soundboard.
I couldn't find the Yo Quiero Taco Bell. I thought I had that on there. Apparently, I lost it.
So did you.
Could you hear it, Seth, or no?
I heard something, but it actually sounded real because it was muffled.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
So Sven says, a dude ran. Is what all cowboys and ranchers called all the people from the city dudes. So when they came out to visit certain ranches, those were the call the dude ranches because they allowed the city folk to come and play for a cowboy for a weekend or a week.
There you go.
Ben, did you Google that for me?
Use up, bro.
Ben is ChatGPT. He is in.
GPT, bro.
Ben, the fuck? Maybe Sven was. Maybe Sven went to a dude ranch. Maybe he played cowboy for a week.
I bet he did. He does have that look on his face. He's been on a ranch before.
They're like, we're going to need to put that hair in a bun, sir.
So I'm glad if you guys have Taco Bell out there. Taco Bell, this whole Taco Bell thing it's been hit and miss these last few weeks, you know? Do you prefer somewhere else over Taco Bell, or is Taco Bell your preferred Mexican fast food?
So, like, no, I like Taco Bell for everything, but like, it's hard to beat a crunchy taco from Del Taco too.
See, you're a Del Taco guy too. We've had other Del Taco guys. Yeah.
I think like Taco Bell, the people working at Taco Bell, like they don't put as much care into their tacos that the Del Taco worker does. Del Taco has taco artists.
Dental ands.
Yeah, they do.
Like, you open your soft taco from Taco Bell, and like all the toppings are not even in the taco.
You are exactly.
You got to put them back in there.
The thing out here, I don't know what it's like in Colorado though, but you'll pass 8, 9, 12 Taco Bells before you hit a Del Taco out here. What's how about out there by you guys? Is Del Taco like more plentiful?
No. It's the same. There's a lot more Taco Bells here than Del Taco.
Yeah. I like the French fries, though. I like the fact that I can go through and get a couple of crunchy tacos with hella cheese. They put hella cheese. That's what I like about it. Like, and that's really not finely grated cheddar cheese. I'm such a fat ass that I get so excited when we talk about the Del Taco. When
you hit a shoulder Sydney.
I do use the
shoulder Sydney.
Yeah.
Are you having your fried chicken?
To that shirt, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
What'd you say, Nick?
Have you guys ever had their fried chicken tacos at Del Taco? They got like crispy chicken tacos, and they're incredibly good for like $2.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it, but it's solid.
I don't even know where the closest Del Taco is. I don't think we have one within quite some time. I don't think there's a Del Taco between my house and your house, Nick.
I mean, in all fairness, there isn't like too much in between our houses except for Rio Vista. So that's really all you got.
Yep. All right, y'all. Well, I appreciate everybody for tuning in. This has been this week's episode of Big Unc and the Nephew. We'll catch up with you on another one.